The Outsiders, Chapter 5, Part 2, page 75. The next 4 or 5 days were the longest days I've ever spent in my life. We killed time by reading Gone with the Wind and playing poker. Johnny sure did like that book, although he didn't know anything about the Civil War and even less about plantations. And I had to explain a lot of it to him. It amazed me how Johnny could get more meaning out of some of the stuff in there than I could. I was supposed to be the deep one. Johnny had failed a year in school and never made good grades. He couldn't grasp anything that was shoved at him too fast, and I guess his teachers thought he was just plain dumb. But he wasn't. He was just a little slow to get things. And he liked to explore things once he did get them. He was especially stuck on the Southern gentlemen, impressed with their manners and charm. "I bet they were cool guys," he said, his eyes glowing, after I had read the part about them riding into sure death because they were gallant. "They remind me of Dally." "Dally?" I said, startled. "Shoot, he ain't got any more manners than I do. And you saw how he treated those girls the other night. Soda's more like them, Southern boys." "Yeah, in the manners bit. And the charm, too, I guess," Johnny said slowly. "But one night, I saw Dally getting picked up by the fuzz, and he kept real cool and calm the whole time. They was getting him for breaking out the windows in the school building, and it was Two-Bit who did that, and Dally knew it. But he just took the sentence without batting an eye or even denying it. That's gallant." That was the first time I realized the extent of Johnny's hero worship for Dally Winston. Of all of us, Dally was the one I liked least. He didn't have Soda's understanding, or Dash, or Two-Bit's humor, or even Dairy's Superman qualities. But I realized that these three appealed to me because they were like the heroes in the novels I read. Dally was real. I liked my books and clouds and sunsets. Dally was so real he scared me. Johnny and I never went to the front of the church. You could see the front from the road, and sometimes farm kids rode their horses by on their way to the store. So we stayed in the very back, usually sitting on the steps and looking across the valley. We could see for miles, see the ribbon of highway and the small dots that were houses and cars. We couldn't watch the sunset, since the back faced east, but I loved to look at the colors of the fields and the soft shadings of the horizon. One morning, I woke up earlier than usual. Johnny and I slept huddled together for warmth. Dally had been right when he said it would get cold where we were going. Being careful not to wake Johnny up, I went to sit on the steps and smoke a cigarette. The dawn was coming then. All the lower valley was covered with mist, and sometimes little pieces of it broke off and floated away in small clouds. The sky was lighter in the east, and the horizon was a thin golden line. The clouds changed from gray to pink, and the mist was touched with gold. There was a silent moment when everything held its breath, and then the sun rose. It was beautiful. "Golly," Johnny's voice beside me made me jump. "That sure was pretty." "Yeah," I sighed, wishing I had some paint to do a picture with while the sight was still fresh in my mind. "The mist was what was pretty," Johnny said, "all gold and silver." "Hmm," I said, trying to blow a smoke ring. "Too bad it couldn't stay like that all the time." "Nothing gold can stay." I was remembering a poem I'd read once. "What?" "Nature's first green is gold, her hardest hue to hold. Her early leaf's a flower, but only so an hour. Then leaf subsides to leaf, so Eden sank to grief. So dawn goes down to day, nothing gold can stay." Johnny was staring at me. "Where'd you learn that?" "That was what I meant." "Robert Frost wrote it. He meant more to it than I'm getting, though. I was trying to find the meaning the poet had in mind, but it eluded me. I always remembered it because I never quite got what he meant by it." "You know," Johnny said slowly, "I never noticed colors and clouds and stuff until you kept reminding me about them. It seems like they were never there before." He thought for a minute. "Your family sure is funny." "And what happens to be so funny about it?" I asked stiffly. Johnny looked at me quickly. "I didn't mean nothing. I meant, well, soda kind of looks like your mother did, but he acts just exactly like your father. And Derry is the spitting image of your father, but he ain't wild and laughing all the time like he was. He acts like your mother, and you don't act like either one." "I know," I said. "Well," I said, thinking this over, "you ain't like any of the gang. I mean, I couldn't tell Two-Bit or Steve or even Derry about the sunrise and clouds and stuff. I couldn't even remember that poem around them. I mean, they just don't dig. Just you and Soda Pop. And maybe Cherry Valance." Johnny shrugged. "Yeah," he said with a sigh. "I guess we're different." "Shoot," I said, blowing a perfect smoke ring. "Maybe they are." By the fifth day, I was so tired of bologna, I nearly got sick every time I looked at it. We had eaten all our candy bars in the first 2 days. I was dying for a Pepsi. I'm what you might call a Pepsi addict. I drink them like a fiend, and going for 5 days without one was about to kill me. Johnny promised to get some if we ran out of supplies, and had to get some more, but that didn't help me right then. I was smoking a lot more than I usually did. I guess because it was something to do. Although Johnny warned me that I would get sick smoking so much. We were careful with our cigarettes. If that old church ever caught fire, there'd be no stopping it. On the fifth day, I had read up to Sherman's Siege of Atlanta in Gone with the Wind. Owed Johnny $150 from poker games, smoked 2 packs of Camels, and as Johnny had predicted, got sick. I hadn't eaten anything all day, and smoking on an empty stomach doesn't make you feel real great. Curled up in a corner to sleep off the smoke. I was just about asleep when I heard, as if from a great distance, a low, long whistle that went off in a sudden high note. I was too sleepy to pay any attention, although Johnny didn't have any reason to be whistling like that. He was sitting on the back steps trying to read Gone with the Wind. I had almost decided that I had dreamed the outside world and there was nothing real but bologna sandwiches and the Civil War, and the old church, and the mist in the valley. It seemed to me that I had always lived in the church, or maybe lived during the Civil War, and had somehow got transplanted. That shows you what a wild imagination I have. A toe nudged me in the ribs. "Glory," said a rough but familiar voice. "He looks different with his hair like that." I rolled over and sat up, rubbing the sleep out of my eyes and yawning. Suddenly, I blinked. "Hey, Dally!" "Hey, Pony Boy," he grinned down at me. "Or should I say, Sleeping Beauty?" I never thought I'd live to see the day when I would be so glad to see Dally Winston. But right then, he meant one thing, contact with the outside world. And it suddenly became real and vital. "How's Soda Pop? Are the Fuzz after us? Is Derry all right? Do the boys know where we are? What..." "Hold on, kid," Dally broke in. "I can't answer everything at once. You two want to go out, want to get something to eat first? I skipped breakfast, and I'm about starved." "You're starved?" Johnny was so indignant he nearly squeaked. I remembered the bologna. "Is it safe to go out?" I asked eagerly. "Yep." Dally searched his shirt pocket for a cigarette, and finding none, said, "Got a cancer stick, Johnny Cake?" Johnny tossed him a whole package. "Fuzz won't be looking for you around here," Dally said, lighting up. "They think you've lit out for Texas. I've got Buck's T-Bird parked down the road a little way." "Gosh almighty, boys, ain't you been eating anything?" Johnny looked startled. "Yeah, whatever gave you the idea we ain't?" Dally shook his head. "You're both pale and you've lost weight. After this, get out in the sun more. You look like you've been through the mill." I started to say, "Look who's talking," but decided it would be safer not to. Dally needed a shave. A stubble of colorless beard covered his jaw, and he looked like he was the one who'd been sleeping in his clothes for a week instead of us. I knew he hadn't seen a barber in months, but it was safer not to get mouthy with Dally Winston. "Hey, Pony Boy." He fumbled with a piece of paper in his back pocket. "I got a letter for you."
"A letter? Who from?"
The president, of course, stupid. It's from soda. Soda pop? I said, bewildered. But how did he know? He came over to Buck's a couple of days ago for something and found that sweatshirt. I told him I didn't know where you were, but he didn't believe me. He gave me this letter and half his paycheck to give you. Kid, you ought to see Derry. He's taking this mighty hard. I wasn't listening. I leaned back against the side of the church and read.